possible. Hallelujah, Lord. We're going to call our pastor.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Anything is possible. Amen. Amen. With the Lord. Anything is possible with the Lord tonight. I'm gonna open up tonight with just some questions. We're having a special speaker on Sunday, and I don't know that he'll be talking about being grateful and thankful, so I'm going to do my Thanksgiving thing now. Amen. So my question to you is, before you have a seat, in Psalms 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. So my question to you today, the Bible says a lot about gratefulness. I might not give you all six questions, but do you say thank you less than once a day or 2 to 3 times a day? You ever thought about that, how many times you say thank you? Do you often spend time wishing, dreaming that things would be different, or do you often thank God even in difficult circumstances? Do you often find fault with others, or do you express a resilient, forgiving spirit and grace-filled spirit? Just asking. No, I want you to keep that inside, because if you answer it in a negative way, we wouldn't want that to come out. But anyway, I'm just asking, right? It's to get us thinking. That's all I'm trying to ask you. I'm just asking you some thought-provoking questions. And are most of the words that come out of your mouth critical, negative, positive, affirming? Do you have a demanding spirit, more often looking to others to meet your needs, or do you look for ways to meet others' needs? Do you blame others for your problem, or do you easily take ownership of your problems? I found sometimes it's easy to go, it's his fault, not mine. Right? The psalmist often speaks about a thankful heart. And we as God's people should have an attitude of gratitude. Amen. And Psalms 69:30, I will praise the name of God with a song and will magnify him with thanksgiving. Psalms 95:2, let us come before his presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto him with psalms. Psalms 104, I will come back to the scripture again because it's in what I'm going to speak on tonight. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Amen. I just, there are days that I just go through life going, thank you, God, because, you know, for what I have and what God has given me, what God has done for me, being saved. For me, being saved is probably one of the biggest things that has been a blessing in my life. Besides putting my marriage back together and making me a grandpa that I can see all my grandchildren that I would never have seen, you know. So I'm a little over the top. While I was talking to someone, you know, I kind of, you know, sometimes I get a little bit over the top because of how, you know, and I don't expect you to have the same gratitude because of, you know, but you ought to have some kind of gratitude in our walk with God. Psalms, we're going to go right to it. Psalms 100. Starting at 1. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endureth for all generations. You may be seated in Jesus' name. Father, I do ask your help tonight, God, to bring forth your word to your people. God, that we will either be preaching of some sort, learning from this, God, or just being able to know that we are moving in the right direction. I pray blessings on everyone that's here tonight, those that are online. In Jesus' name. So as you know, the title will be Enter with Thanksgiving. I go back here to the scripture, and the scripture has no when it's being spoke, it's not on whether or not you have been blessed or you've had a good day or a bad day. Right? The scripture says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. He's saying, everybody, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. He said, serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. It didn't say, so, Alan, you've had a bad day today. Someone just cut you off. You were late to an appointment, and you didn't make this one, and bill collector's knocking on the door. So since all that's happening to you, you do not need to make a joyful noise today. You can sit there and sulk and be in your pity party and have a bad day. That's not what my Bible says. My Bible is not conditional. It doesn't have any conditions on why I should be making a joyful noise unto the Lord and serve him with gladness and come before his presence with singing. One of the most beautiful psalms of thanksgiving is the 100th psalm. With all my heart, I believe we are a people and a nation that has truly been blessed by God. And some of us don't even realize how blessed we are. I'm grateful to be an American. It doesn't take I understand we have issues in America, but I'm thankful to be an American. I'm thankful to have been born here and be reared here and to have been given the blessings of America, the freedom, right? It is not uncommon to make a wish list. Listen, it's not uncommon for us to make a wish list at Christmas and draw up a list of resolutions for a new year. But there is another list that we often overlook, and it's a Thanksgiving Day list of all for which we should be thankful for. Not that we should only be thankful for one day a year. Coming into next week, we'll be celebrating Thanksgiving, and all around the world, people will be celebrating Thanksgiving. There'll be people celebrating Thanksgiving and doesn't even understand Thanksgiving. I'm thankful that God has saved me. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful to have hearing. I'm thankful, pretty good hearing without hearing aids. It's okay. It's not the best, but right? But I'm thankful. I'm thankful to have eyesight right now. I'm thankful to be breathing on my own right now. I'm thankful. I'm just thankful for things. I'm thankful for salvation. I'm thankful that God didn't let my life go with the drugs that was driving my life and about to kill me. I'm thankful that I'm still able to walk around and talk about the goodness of God. You know, sometimes I'm gonna kind of take it a little bit on the humorous side, but let me read a part of the list that several housewives compiled. They wrote that they were especially thankful for automatic dishwashers because they make it possible for us to get out of the kitchen before the family comes back in for their after-dinner snacks. For husbands who attack small repair jobs around the house because they usually make them big enough to call in a professional. For children who put away their things and clean up after themselves, there's such a joy that you know, you hate to see them go. I don't know about you, but when my grands come, it's like a whirlwind come through the house, tornado. They tell the kids, go clean up. Their cleanup is different than our cleanup, right? For smoke alarms, because they let you know when there's something bad happening, like a turkey burning in the oven. Our list might not be the same as theirs, but I'm convinced that if we begin to make a list, we would find that we have much more for which to be thankful than for the materialistic things. Right? There's things that, you know, a lot of times we get lost in the materialistic stuff. This world is very heavily lost in the material stuff. Like you, I'm sure my list would include the major things like life, like health, like family, like friends, the nation that we live in, despite its flaws, the church, having a church family. I'm grateful for the church family. A lot of people don't understand the importance of assembling themselves in the house of the Lord in a regular, every commitment of every week coming to the house of the Lord, connecting with one another, because my family has grown. By being in the church, my family has grown. But even more than that, I'm thankful for my salvation, and I'm going to repeat this again, my church family, and the mercy that God showers upon each and every one of us every day. I don't know if you watched the news, but there was a lady hit just here in right over here in Maryland. I want to say it was off of over near Pennsylvania Avenue, somewhere in that area. Just hit, and the person drove off, killed her. You know what I mean? And so I want to say this, and I don't say this to be disrespectful to the loss of a life, but I don't know about you, but when I get in the car, I'm thankful that I make it from point A to point B. I'm thankful that I left my house at 6 o'clock, and at 6:35 I was pulling in to the parking lot without someone hitting me or killing me, right? Just things we don't think about being thankful for, right? Being able to go in the house and the house is warm. There's folks that are not even, you know, they don't get to go in the house. I was talking to a person today, and they've been heating their house for 3 years with space heaters because they didn't have the money to replace a piece of equipment. And I go in and I bump a thermostat, and my thermostat works and my heat kicks on, and you know what I mean? And so, you know, sometimes we take things for granted, and we just don't say, God, I thank you, because, you know, God could let the unit fail, and it's going to fail at some time, but right now I get to go in my house and it's warm. I get to take a hot shower every day. There's folks that don't get to do that every day, right? And so just having a sandwich to eat, right? When I go home, I'm eating me a chicken salad sandwich. Tonight. That's right. I didn't want to eat before church because then I would have been burping up here. You don't quite hear me. I'm going to get to go eat a sandwich when I get home. And there's some folks that don't get it. And I'm like, you got to be right. You know, so I know I'm a little over the top, but I'm thankful. I'm thankful. With Jesus, we have so much for which to celebrate during this season of Thanksgiving, but has it ever occurred to you that no Americans were more underprivileged than that small handful from the Mayflower who started the custom of setting aside a day of thanksgiving to the Almighty God and giving Him glory? They had no homes. They had no government agency to help them build homes. They had no means of transportation but their legs. Their only food came from the sea and the forest, and they had to get it for themselves. They had no money and no place to spend it if they had had any. Excuse me. And so they had no amusements except what they made for themselves. No means of communication with their relatives in England. No social security or Medicare. But anyone who dared to call them underprivileged would probably have been either been shackled or put in a prison of some sort, for they did have four of the greatest human assets. They had initiative to make it in cultivating a crop and making food, courage to leave their homes and come for freedom of religion, a willingness to work hard in building homes. They had boundless faith in God. Our forefathers had a boundless faith in God. We need to have a boundless faith in God. I've been preaching faith for a long time. I've been preaching healing for a long time because I believe God's word. I believe He is a healer. I believe He's a deliverer. I believe He wants people to be healed. I don't believe that it was only for the day that Jesus was walking the earth. I believe it's in here today. I believe it happens every day that when we have faith to say, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or the power of the word of God, be thou healed in Jesus' name. I believe God is going to heal people. I don't even doubt when I say it. I do it because I believe my faith is in God's word.
Amen.
His word has power. It has life. It has an abundance of wealth of information in the Bible to give us guidance, to direct us, to strengthen us. And I give thanks for that. But it almost sounds strange today in time, the time that we're living in, and the powerful forces that are at work in our nation trying to strip us of every reminder that the very foundation of our nation was built upon the conviction that we are one nation under God.
One
nation under God. Thanksgiving Day, or the season of Thanksgiving in which I'm talking about, is a distinctive holiday. It's a time and a season. It doesn't commemorate a battle or anyone's birthday or an anniversary. It's simply a day, a season set aside to express our nation's thanks for our nation's God.
Right. Amen.
Amen. To set aside time to say, God, I thank you. Throughout all this mess, I still thank you. Lord, I thank you for my freedom that I still have right now to call out the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, to call on the name of the Lord, to be able to preach the word of God. I thank God for the ability to be able to come together as a collective body of Christ and fellowship and worship together and sing praises together.
Amen.
This next week, our nation will pause once again to celebrate Thanksgiving Day, and they won't even really know what they're being thankful for and cutting the turkey. One would assume that because of the example of our forefathers, and because today we have so much, that we would be an extremely thankful people. But I find that we've become unthankful and ungrateful as a nation, is what I'm saying. It's greed. It's turned into greed. We want more money. We want whatever we do. It's to benefit me. It's not to benefit you. We don't have any compassion for people as a whole. I'm not talking about the church. The church has compassion. But it is often just the opposite, isn't it? The more people get, the less thankful they become. The less mindful of God, the less mindful of God they are, and the more they want. I've watched people that come into money, they put God on the back on the back burner. When they get money, they lose sight of the one that kept them to even be able to be blessed with that finance or that money. I think back, I think at the 100th Psalm was written to deal with that attitude. I believe it's written to remind us of our need to be thankful and to maintain an attitude of gratitude. Amen. I'm grateful. I'm thankful for God. God has kept me 17 years. Out of those 17 years, 12 of those years has been fully employed by this church without a secular job of the earnings that I'm accustomed to. And being grateful and thankful, God has blessed me. I've never went behind on a bill. I've never been in trouble with a bill collector. God had just helped me reevaluate my lifestyle, because I was living a very I was living a lifestyle, you know, before becoming a pastor. I was living a lifestyle of luxury. I lived it very, I was making it and I was spending it. And God taught me a lesson when he called me to be a pastor. Taught me how to respect money, how to handle money, how to be a better steward of my money. I paid tithes. I paid good tithes. But I'm not bragging. I'm just telling you, the money was there to pay tithes, big tithes, right? And God blessed me, but I wasn't. I could have gave more to the foreign fields or to North American missions or to the church to help the church at that time. I was putting it in doing things that we wanted to do. Though I was grateful, I just was not being as a good steward of my finances I should have been. The basis of our thanksgiving, the 100th Psalm was written for people of Israel. God said to them, when you come into the promised land and settle down in your warm homes and you have plenty to eat, don't forget me. I led you out of the wilderness. I brought you into a land flowing with milk and honey. But it doesn't take very long to realize that the people of Israel needed a reminder. I'm afraid that we need it too sometimes. As God's people, maybe God had us in mind also when he was writing the Psalms, when Psalms were being written. Did you notice whom he addressed? Watch who he addressed. The first verse says that it is addressed to all the earth. And the last verse says that it includes all generations. So he wasn't just speaking to the children of Israel. He was speaking to every generation that came after the children of Israel. That included, i.e., me and us, right? That includes us. The message of thanksgiving is so deep and wide that it applies to every person in every era, in every stage of life. I think there is something about giving thanks together. It brings a blessing when people come together and lift up their hands and give God glory and thanks just for being in the house of the Lord. One, also just thanking him for his presence in the house. Right? There's places I go that you can't feel the presence of the Lord in a building that's supposed to be a house of the Lord. It grieves me when I can't feel the presence of God. It grieves me when we go in and the place goes through a ritual of worship. No presence of God. I know prayer on Monday night can be daunting and become work, but let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is what makes this house a place of having the flow of the Holy Ghost. Prayer is what ushers in the presence of God. When God's people are praying, we're praying for God to move. It brings unity. It brings blessings upon those that come in here. I'm just trying to get you to understand, you know, there are barriers that come down when we pray and seek the face of God and when we worship him and thank him with gratitude. I think also that there is a real danger in this season of determining our thanksgiving on the basis of how much we have. Do I have enough turkey to feed ourselves sufficiently? Is my money in the bank secure? I can tell you right now, if you're worried about what your money's going to do, it's going down. If you have anything in 401ks and in stocks and anything like that, it's drastically going down. So I pray that you're not putting any hope in man's economy. We've got to put our hope in the Lord. Right? And we ask, is my money secure in the bank? Am I healthy? And we let these things determine whether or not we're going to be thankful or grateful, or are we going to worship, or are we going to not be worshipful? Those things cannot affect us. We cannot let those determine my worship. They cannot determine my thanks to God for all that he has done and all that he has given. The psalmist says that all of these things may change at any time. How many of you realize that at any moment, I mean, we saw when COVID came in, there was no food on the shelves, no bread, no toilet paper, no paper towels. You couldn't get rubber medical gloves anymore. You couldn't get a mask because everybody went crazy and bought everything up, right? You couldn't even get pine salt. You couldn't get bleach, the normal household stuff. Let me say this. Everything that we deal with in life here will drift away at some point or burn up, or it may be stolen. The only thing that we have for sure is our relationship with the Lord. That is it. That's the only constant, and that's if we stay constant with him, if we stay consistent. And that is what Psalms 100 is emphasizing. If you just scan the Psalms, verse 1, it says, "You will." Here's what you'll find in verse 1. You'll find the name of the Lord. Verse 2 says you'll find the name of the Lord again. Verse 3, you'll find the name of the Lord. Verse 4, it says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 5 says you'll find the name of the Lord. The basis of our thanksgiving is the Lord. Amen. That's who I worship. That's who I give praise and thanks for in everything. When I lost a job, I mean, it was only the grace of God, and I would be thanking him, because when I lost it here, God was opening a door somewhere else. I was in church at that time praying, and it was like, it was almost simultaneously from the time I would lose a job. It wasn't but a 2 or 3 days, and my old boss was calling me back going, look, you need to come on back. We need you at Carrier. We need you, because I'd left them and went to Metcalf right here in Clinton. And I got fired from that job. I got fired from that job because they were taking money from me that I had. They told me bring in 3 new accounts and I'd get paid extra money. I got a bonus every account I brought in. I brought 3 accounts in 1 month, and then they didn't want to pay me my money. So I went to the guy that was my boss, and when I went to him, then it changed, right? He was like, well, you're not going to get it. Go out and get 3 more. Well, after, so I went over his head, which is, you know what happens when you go over the boss's head? You get fired. So I was working, at that point, I went to the owner, and he said, he's my sales manager, I got to stand behind him. And I said, well, bud, I don't think I can go back to Carrier. I said, what am I going to do? I've got to make money. So I started hanging duck work in attics, brand new construction work. I'd never done that before. He said, I'm going to give you a guy that's going to teach you. For the first week, I'll pay you the same thing I'd pay you after, but you get 1 week with him. Learn what to do and do it. I did that for a week, and my old company Carrier called me. I was up in there. It was 135 degrees. I answered the phone. I said, yes, John Clark. He said, man, I'd like you to come back to work. I said, when? He said, could you start Monday? I said, I most certainly can. I said, I'll see you bright and early Sunday on Monday morning. I hung up. I finished that duck job. I got out of that attic. I went home. I told my wife, I said, God just answered a prayer. I'm going back to sales. Right? Hear me. When you're honoring God, when you thank God, I'm just telling you, you got to thank him. Even in the bad times, you got to thank him. I don't know how many of you know Alex Haley, the author of Roots. All right. Had an unusual picture hanging in his office on the wall. It was a picture of a turtle on top of the fence post. When asked, why is that there? Alex Haley would answer, every time I write something significant, every time I read my words and think that they are wonderful and begin to feel proud of myself, I look at that turtle on top of that fence post and remember that he didn't get there on his own. He had help. None of us has gotten where we are today without our help from the Lord. Amen. That's why we say thank you, Jesus, right? We say, God, I give you thanks. Thanks. I give you thanks for all you've done. That's what we do, right? That's what it's all about, is giving God thanks for what he has done. I don't deserve his blessings, but he gives me blessings, bountiful blessings. Day in and day out. It's not just one time a year that I give thanks. Hallelujah. So that is the basis of thankfulness to remember, is that we got here with the help of God. And he is our provider of every blessing. 5 Thanksgiving commands. Now, as we look more carefully in the book of Psalms 100, I want to give you 5 commands. The first command in verse 1 is shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. It means to shout with the force of trumpet blast, a shout of joy. Listen, you know, if you shout, right, you know there's going to be a difference in your shout, right? You win $1 million, I can tell you what, it's not going to be, woo-hoo, hallelujah, praise God. going to jump. You're going to scream. Right? I don't want to scream in your ear right now. I don't know. But I can tell you right now, if someone handed me $1 million, whoa, yeah. Right? You're going to be pumped. Right? And then you're going to try to figure out, oh, wait a minute. I got to give 10% of that to the Lord. I got to put the rest of that off of it maybe if I need it. I got to bless my children, right? All kinds of things. So now you start going, Lord, you could make it like $4 million, $5 million. Just make it $5 million because now I know how to cut it up for all the kids and church and the charities and all that, right? But the Bible says, shout for the Lord of all the earth, right? It means to shout with force. It means to be loud with your shout. Thank you, Jesus, or hallelujah, my joy is inside me. Shout with it. May God, and maybe God solved a problem that you had, right? I remember, you know, there's been times when accounts were taken from me that were $500,000, and I had to start with a $5,000 account, you know? And God would turn those accounts around immediately. I mean, it was, let me say this, church. When you honor God, people can't beat you down. God will raise you up. God will bless you in ways that you can't even explain it. I mean, I literally took accounts that were $5,000 a year account, and God would turn them into $50,000, $100,000. $200,000 accounts in less than a year. And so what I'm saying is, you know, you've got to come to a place where you can give God glory. Maybe God solved the problem that you had. Maybe he has given you the direction in buying something. Maybe, how many of you ask God for help when you buy something? I'm going to ask guidance because, you know, my flesh wants everything. I saw someone in my candy store, Harbor Freight. I was like, oh, man, I'm feeling a little guilty now. You go in my shop, I got all kind of Bauer tools. But the bottom line is, maybe he had provided a blessing and you realize that it has come from God. You need to give God glory for that. So from the depths of your belly, you proclaim your praise. Amen? You don't just sit there and say hallelujah. It's hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Right? I feel it. I know he done it. It couldn't have been done by nobody but him. Amen. But Roland Allen tells about a veteran missionary who came up to him one day after he had delivered his sermon. The missionary introduced himself and said, I was a medical missionary for many years in India, and I served in a region where there was progressive blindness. People were born with healthy vision, but their was something in the area that caused people to lose their sight, and as they grew older, but the missionary had developed a treatment which would stop progressive blindness, and so people came to him, and he performed this treatment, and they would leave realizing that they would have become completely blind, but because of him, their sight had been saved. He said that they never said thank you, because that phrase was not in their dialect. Watch where I'm going with the story. Instead, they spoke a word that meant, I will tell your name. Wherever they went, they would tell the name of the missionary who had cured their blindness. They had received something so wonderful that they eagerly proclaimed it. And that is what the psalmist is saying. Suddenly you realize that God has been so good to you that you can't keep it inside anymore. From the depths of your belly, you're going to shout for joy to the Lord. Amen? And the second command is to serve the Lord with gladness. It doesn't say serve the church. It doesn't say serve the preacher or serve the leaders or serve the organization. It says serve the Lord. Folks that walk away from church do not get it. It's about serving the Lord. The Bible teaches us that if we are witnesses on behalf of the Lord, if we feed the hungry, if we clothe the naked, if we do the work of the Lord, whatever it might be, we are serving the Lord.
Amen.
Now, that story that I just read you, go back to that, and I want you to try to remember when God filled you with the Holy Ghost. When God began to change your life and change what's been going on, I knew who did it for me. It was Jesus. So the only one I know to proclaim is Jesus. Amen? And he's the one that I have to thank for, that I have grandchildren that I would have never had, that I have a wife that I would never have, that I was able to raise children that I would have never, ever even been involved in their life if it had not been for the Lord. So, yes, I do. I know I get a little over the top, but I am grateful and thankful. I have my gratitude to him, I can't pay him back. I can't pay enough. I couldn't do enough. And I know you don't have to, but the old saying was, if I had 1,000 tongues, I couldn't praise him enough. Amen? You know, when you look back at where life is right now and where we are in life, and it is what it is, right? But I'm like, Lord, protect my children, protect the church children, protect my grandchildren, protect the church, God. Protect us, because I don't know what the future holds, but God, I want you to protect the church. I pray every meal I go, God, bless the church family. Bless my children. Bless my grandchildren. Can you imagine if we all pray the same prayer every night? Even if you don't have children, God, bless the church. Bless the church children. Bless the church people. God, bless people that have children in the church. Bless their children, Lord God. Bless the children's children. What would happen if a collective group of people begin to pray God's blessings over the body of Christ, over the children that are not even in the church? We were praying for prodigals on Monday night. I'm telling you, God is going to do something miraculous in the prodigals, in Jesus' name. I believe that with all my heart. In Matthew 25:40, Jesus said, "Inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." So I pray that we understand this. Maybe we serve at times out of a feeling of obligation or fear of guilt, or if we don't serve, or maybe even because we want to draw attention to ourselves. And I pray that nobody ever gets into a place where they want attention, right? Because that's the whole, that is the wrong reason to serve or be a leader, let me say that, or even be in the kingdom of God, doing anything for the kingdom of God, is to have recognition. But it's natural for us to desire appreciation when we do something worthwhile. And so I would never disregard that. But the psalmist says, "In whatever you do, serve the Lord with gladness." The third command is, "Come before him with joyful songs." And Psalms 98:4 says, "Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, and that I can do." It may not be on key. Was it? Oh, was it? Thank you. I did. I got one. Maybe we'll sing a special like that, because that's the only one I can sing. But in the first command, the first three commands, God said, "I want you to be happy." Man, how many wants their children to be happy? How many wants their family to be happy? Right? You want your family to be happy, and God wants us to be happy. And so we should shout with joy, serve with gladness, and come with joyful songs, and just take a moment on Sunday and look at the people around you. Please, don't call them out. Just look around. Do they look happy? Yes, she's always happy. But if you find someone sitting in a church and they're like this, they are not happy. When you're worshiping God, now I'm not like, you know, some people can smile and sing. I can't even preach and sing. Or I can't preach and smile, I'm sorry. But what I'm trying to say is I do have a joyful spirit when I'm worshiping the Lord. And you should see a joyful spirit in people when they come to the house of the Lord on Sundays. There should not be no, woe is me. I refuse. I'm like a tree planted by the rivers of water. I shall not be moved. Right? We should be moved by the presence of God.
Amen.
We should be touched by the presence of God. God's presence, just for what he did for you on Calvary, should be enough to make us praise him and worship him and thank him. Right? They don't look happy sometimes. Or they just sit there with scowls on their face. But the psalmist says, come before him and serve him and sing his praises with joy in your heart. Command number four is know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. God took every bone. Listen to me. Now I'm getting ready to close. Never mind. Don't matter. I'm closing. God took every bone, every joint, and he welded it together. That alone, he put sinew and muscles and covered it with skin and gave us eyes that see, brains that think, and fingers that can pick things up. And God made us inside and out. And he made you the way he wanted you to be. He made you the way he wanted me to be. Amen. And that is a mystery, isn't it? Because we're all differently made. We all think different, but we all can come together and be one in the Holy Ghost, one in worship, one in praise, one in body. Right? Different cultures, but we all become one because God has put us together. Even though it's a mystery to some of us. I don't understand why, but somehow in God's providence, he decided that he wanted a man of my background to pastor. Not outstanding in anything, but just a faithful father, a minister who would keep plodding along. Not giving up, not quitting. So he made me. And someplace along the way, he has made his mind, has you in mind. He has made you. And he has put you in a place here so that you could do a work in the kingdom of God. We all feel not worthy, but we are worthy through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that is very important for us to realize. He's not satisfied with the unfinished product. I have not made it. I'm not there yet. He's constantly working me. I'm the clay on the potter's wheel. He'll get me and he'll go, that's not the way I wanted it. Okay, God. Right? I'm gonna work that one out. We haven't made it. We haven't made it there. He's not satisfied if I have a temper. He's not satisfied with the weak areas of my life or your life. Or giving in to any temptations that you might have. So he's still making us. God's still working on our lives. God is your maker, and he has created you in his image. Therefore, give him thanks for who you are. Right? I thank him for who I am. Then he says, we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Most of us want to be the shepherd, not the sheep. It's not any fun being sheep, we say. But the problem is we don't know where the still waters are. So you need a shepherd. The Bible talks about needing a shepherd. No, I'm not preaching to you that I have to be the shepherd. But if I preach truth, you ought to want truth. That's what you ought to want. You ought to want a place that preaches truth, that cares enough to preach what's wrong and what's right. And preach it out of the Word of God, not what feels good, not what I want to say, not what I want to take out from every other whim. Amen. Every time we go out searching for them, we invariably end up in a far country. That's what happens when you start to look for something else. You end up in a far country. Just let me lead. The command of number five is enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. In the Old Testament, the Ark of the Covenant symbolized the presence of God. So whenever the people came to the temple and entered the courtyards, they knew that they had come in the presence of God. Now, the temple no longer exists, but oftentimes the place where we meet, when we come here every Sunday, the presence of God's here. And this is not a temple, but because the Holy Ghost is alive in us, we bring the presence. We can pull the, we can worship together, and the presence of God comes down into the sanctuary, and he settles in the house of God. And that's where people's hearts get dealt with and broken for the power of God to deal with their hearts and their sin. God is everywhere. He is in you, with you, and as you drive on the highways. He's with you when you work. He's with you when you're caring for your children. He's with you every moment of your life. That is the source of thanksgiving, is happening with us every day. God has laid his own heart on us. And that gives us the compassion to want to love others. What if God began to treat us so often like we treat him? What if God met our needs to the same extent that we give him our lives? What if we never saw another flower bloom because we grumbled when God sent rain? What if God stopped loving and caring for us because we failed to love and care for others? What if God took away his message because we wouldn't listen to the messenger or his messenger? What if he wouldn't bless us today because we didn't thank him yesterday? What if God answered our prayers the way we answer his call for service? What if God decided to stop leading us tomorrow because we did not follow him today? Psalms 103 and 10. O Lord, help us to be thankful for all that you do. Don't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. Psalms 103 and 10. If you'd stand with me. I pray that something was said that was meaningful to you for this Thanksgiving season. I won't get to preach to the church. I won't get to preach to the crowds. But I'm telling you, it's time to be thankful for what God has done. Amen. And whatever comes down the pike, I want to encourage you to be thankful. Whatever comes down the pike, I don't know what's coming, but I want you to say, thank you, Jesus. God, as long as you're with me, I'm going to do all right. Lord, as long as I walk with you, we're going to be okay. I'm talking about anything that could come down the road. I'm telling you, if anything to distract the child of God can come down the road into this new year, but I'm telling you to walk faithfully with God. To keep your mind on him and to commit yourself to a place where you're going to be thankful. Even after we go through Thanksgiving, continue to be thankful. Thank him for waking you up every morning. I know that's crazy to say it, but I'm just thankful to wake up every day breathing. I'm thankful to be able to hear without, even when I don't have my hearing aids in. I wore them the other day. Hear, lousy day. I had to turn them all the way down. The noise here was very high. But I'm thankful. Amen. Right? I'm thankful. I'm not going to grumble. I was just, God, if you could, Lord, not if, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you, by the power of your word, just heal my ears so I don't have to wear nothing that magnifies the sound. Let me just hear everything naturally. I would like to ask you to just take your time, take some time and just read Psalms 100 again. If you heed those commands, your heart will overflow with thanksgiving to the Lord. I ask that you enter into this next week with thanksgiving in your heart. You know, some people worry about what they're going to have for Thanksgiving dinner. I could have peanut butter and jelly and be thankful. Truly, PBJ and some potato chips, I'd be thankful. Being thankful, right? I remember growing up eating Vienna sausages and Spam and, right, okay, I got somebody back here with an amen to it too. Bologna. Yeah, bologna. It was the cheapest meat you could buy back then. Now it's expensive. But the bottom line is, right, I was thankful. I was grateful. I didn't go hungry. I was grateful. I thank the Lord. We had beef once a week. That was Sunday. I don't know of anybody. Because that was the Lord's day, and you got the best meal of the week. We had good meals, but beef, you know, beef. But anyway, I pray that something was said today or this evening that you will be mindful of Thanksgiving week coming up. And we won't be having church on Wednesday night because many people prepare or travel. And so I just pray that when we sit around the table that we'll talk about the things that we're thankful about. Right, Ma? When we've had dinner with my parents, it's always been, hey, what are you thankful for? Of course, mine's a residual reply, family. You know, family, forgiveness, salvation. You know, I'm no longer an alcoholic. I'm no longer a drug addict. You know, I'm thankful. All these things, they're just things I keep thanking the Lord for. So, our older children, it's a little difficult to get things out of them now, but, you know, it's just good to ask them, what are you thankful for? You know, I'll tell you another thing. I'm thankful I was raised, you know, I had good parents that were church people that were, you know, though I was raised in church, but once I left the church, they still stayed the course. I'm thankful I've got parents that stayed the course and didn't quit church, didn't give up on God because I gave up or I left, right? I'm thankful I got a heritage that I can look to that has stayed the course, stuck it out through thick, thin, good, bad, ugly, fevers, everything else, right? There's things that we need to look at. You know, they may not be your parents, but because of their steadfastness and their dedication, there's a church here today. And I'm thankful for that, right? I'm thankful for that. And so may the Lord richly bless you, love you, and I pray something was said that would either remind you or you go, I'm okay, I got that, man. I say thanks all the time. And that's cool. That's cool. All right, well, let's bow our heads. Father, we thank you for your goodness and your mercies. Lord, we thank you for all the blessings, Lord, that even blessings that we never even see or even know. The bountiful blessings that God, that you have laid up for us, God, that come in and maybe protect us in a traffic accident or get us from point A to point B with no one hitting us, oh God, or just our bodies being healthy, oh God, or, you know, not letting us have a heart attack or anything, God. We just thank you for our health. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for deliverance, oh God. And I pray a blessing on your congregation, on your church. God, I pray a blessing on your people, those online and in the house of the Lord tonight. God, that you bless them, continue to bless their coming and their going. Bless their finances. Bless their day that they sit down, Lord God, and give you thanks for all that you've done. And we ask you, Lord, to bless this evening and go with us as we go to our homes. Keep your hand upon us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. God bless you. God bless you, and thank you for being here with us tonight.